ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय श्रीमद्भागवतम् चैप्टर 24 एंटाइटल्ड कृष्णा द सुप्रीम पर्सनालिटी ऑफ गॉड हेड टेक्स्ट नंबर 56 यदा यदा हि धर्मस्य क्षयो वृद्धिश्च पाप्मनः तदा तु भगवान् ईश आत्मानं सृजते हरि. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Translation: whenever the principles of religion deteriorate and the principles of irreligion increase, the Supreme Controller, the Personality of Godhead, Sri Hari, appears by His own will. Purport: the principles by which an incarnation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead descends upon the earth are explained in this verse. The same principles are also explained in Bhagavad Gita 4.7 by the Lord Himself. Yada yada hi dharmasya glanir bhavati bharata abhyudhanam adharmasya tadatmanam shijamyaham. Whenever and wherever there is a decline in religious practice, O descendant of Bharata, and a predominant rise of irreligion, at that time I descend myself. In the present age, the Supreme Personality of Godhead has appeared as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to inaugurate the Hare Krishna movement. At the present time in Kali Yuga, people are extremely sinful and bad, manda. They have no idea of spiritual life and are misusing the benefits of the human form to live like cats and dogs. Under these circumstances, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has inaugurated the Hare Krishna movement, which is non-different from Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. If one associates with this movement, he directly associates with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. People should take advantage of chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra and thus gain relief from all the problems created in this age of Kali. Om Agya. Whenever the principles of religion deteriorate, so before I begin, I would like to seek the blessings of all assembled Vaishnavas and senior devotees also. So in this verse, which is the most common, even a layman outside knows and heard of. So here, Srila Shukadeva Goswami explains that because now his then chapter is going to begin and is going to explain the descent of Lord Krishna. So out of the many reasons, one reason which Shukadeva Goswami is introducing here to Maharaj Parikshit as to the cause or the reason for Sri Krishna to appear into this material world. So when in this verse, it is said whenever there is a decline in religious activities or practices and increase in irreligious activities, then the Lord descends to establish the religion, to kill the demoniac people and to protect the sadhus. That is what Krishna also explains in Bhagavad Gita. So Acharyas explain that what is the actual reason? Is this the reason for the Lord to descend? So they explain that if it is said that Lord is descending to save his devotees, so then Acharya explain what is the need to save the devotees and what is the danger for the devotee. When are the devotees put in the danger? Because even though apparently or externally it may appear that they are in some difficult situations, they are always associating with the Lord in the form of his remembrance. So for a devotee, it does not matter in which state of life they are. They are always with the Lord, they are always protected by the Lord. So there is no reason for the Lord to come to protect them because they are always protected. Then the other reason is said to annihilate the miscreants. So why the Lord has personally come to annihilate the miscreants? He can send any of his partial expansions or even Maya Devi is there or any of his insignificant potency can destroy them. He does not have to personally come. And to establish religion, which has already done through his Vedic literatures and all that things. Then what is the reason? If none of his reason is there for the Lord to descend, then what is the actual reason for the Lord to descend into this material world? So Acharya explain the actual reason or the internal reason for the Lord to descend is to perform his internal pastimes, which is performing the spiritual world, to manifest those same pastimes on this material platform, on this planet Earth, so that devotees have some subject matter to discuss and relish, and in doing so they can progress on the path of devotional service. So here Prabhupada explains that in the present age, the Supreme Personality of Godhead has appeared as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to inaugurate the Hare Krishna movement. So it's the same Krishna who appeared 5,000 years back, appeared as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu just 510 years back to establish Dharma, to establish the Yuga Dharma, that is congregational chanting of the holy names, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. So in establishing this Yuga Dharma along with the chanting of the holy name, there are so many other things which the Lord also establishes in order for a person to properly chant Hare Krishna. And there are so many things, and the basic principle which Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu establishes for one to perfectly chant or constantly chant Hare Krishna is Trinadapi Sunichena Taroriva Saheshnana Amanena Manadena Kirtaniya Sadahari. So the Lord has given the process to attain perfection, but along with that process He has also given many other things which are favorable or which can help us to achieve that perfection. So I don't know how much time will permit, and before I begin, I would like to ask forgiveness because so many rules are put in our Brahmachari ashram regarding a person giving Bhagavatam class, but he has to follow. Knowingly or unknowingly, I may break some. So before I begin, I'd like to ask forgiveness to speak something beyond my realization and understanding. But this is what struck me and attracted me, so I'd just like to share with all of you. So this is from Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, one small little pastime, which is beautifully narrated by Srila Kaviraj Goswami in the Antalila chapter 4, which is entitled Sanatana Goswami Visits Jagannath Puri. So all of us know that when Mahaprabhu returned back to Jagannath Puri, Sanatana Goswami had a keen desire, very serious, intense desire to meet Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So all the way from Bengal when he was traveling, on the way he drank some water, because of which all his body erupted in sores, in itching sores, which was not just itching, but they were oozing with all pus, blood and mucus and all filthy things. And whole body was affected by that. And somewhere there he came, because the desire, the intensity to meet or to have darshan of the lotus feet of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was so grave that he did not see the external things. He just ran towards. But at the same time, he followed a lot of principles and Vaishnava etiquettes. And that is what his Sanatana Goswami is known for his following of Vaishnava etiquettes, which even Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu glorifies. That, my dear Sanatana, your living, your personality is just there to establish the principles of Vaishnava etiquette. And we know so many things, that one day when Mahaprabhu invited, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu invited Sanatana Goswami for prasad at Yameshwar Mahadev. So he took, Sanatana Goswami took the path of the ocean. He came from the ocean beach, giving up the simple path from the Simhadwar, and that also in hot summer. And actually before that, Sanatana Goswami had the desire to meet Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, but at the same time, he was so much frustrated with that source, and he was feeling that his body is so useless. So let me just, now Rath Yatra is approaching, let me just throw my body below the Rath Yatra cart. Because the Lord had ordered me that my body is his property and wants to do so many things. But with this filthy body, I am unable to serve him properly. So what is the use of a body which is not to be used in the service of my worshipful Lord? So he wanted to end that body, but Mahaprabhu, understanding the heart, immediately chastised Sanatana Goswami. Beautiful past narration is there. And after that, Mahaprabhu invites Sanatana Goswami for prasad. So he does not take the simple path. He comes all the way in the hot summer, in June, now it's raining here, but in Jagannath Puri, all of us experience what is the heat, and that also in the hot summer, to walk on the sand, on the beach of the ocean. So he comes all the way through that, and as a result of that, his legs were practically blistered. Already there were so many blisters on the body, even the soles, they were blisters because of that heat. And Mahaprabhu, when he sees that, asks, which path did you take? He says, I came from the ocean path. He says, why? Because you could have come from this path also. But then Sanatana Goswami said, I would have come. But so many pujaris of Lord Jagannath, they're always coming in and out to serve Lord Jagannath, to do their services. And by mistake, somewhere if I touch them, I'll contaminate their whole body and their service will be affected. And Mahaprabhu, so happy to hear this. And right from the time when Sri Sanatana Goswami comes to Jagannath Puri, right from the first meeting at Siddha Bakul, Mahaprabhu embraces Sanatana Goswami, which Sanatana Goswami does not like. Why? Because he was contaminating the body, the golden form of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, with his filthy, smelling, oozing source. And this time also, when Mahaprabhu went to embrace Sri Sanatana Goswami, Sanatana Goswami was practically running away. But still, Mahaprabhu caught hold of him and embraced him tightly. And then Sanatana Goswami was so frustrated out of this. He says, what is the point of me coming here? I've come here to do something. I actually thought that I will end my life, but that also Mahaprabhu did not allow me to do what I wanted to do. So he goes to Jagannathan Pandit. Both of them meet, and he reveals his heart to Jagannathan Pandit. He says, actually I came here to end my life, but Mahaprabhu did not allow me. And at the same time, every time I meet him, he always embraces me. So I'm not able to serve Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. I'm not able to take darshan of Jagannath properly because of this. At the same time, I'm committing offenses. So my life has become so miserable that I cannot stay here long. So Jagannath Pandit, out of his kind mercy, says, then best is you go to Vrindavan. Because that was the order which Mahaprabhu had given you. Why are you staying here? So again, next day, when Sanatana Goswami meets, or Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu meets Sanatana Goswami, Sanatana Goswami tells him, my dear Lord, kindly give me permission. Give me permission so that I can go to Vrindavan. So Mahaprabhu is shocked. He says, why do you want to go to Vrindavan all of a sudden? Says, no, Jagdananda advised me that I should go to Vrindavan. And Mahaprabhu becomes furious. Well, who is this Jaga? Who is this person? How dare he advises you? He is a neophyte boy, impudent neophyte boy, and he is there to advise you, who's fit to be the advisor of entire creation. Even I take advice from you. And this Jagdananda has so much audacity to advise you, he chastises like that. And then Sanatana Goswami feels, my dear Lord, you are so merciful unto him, and you are not showing your mercy to me. Because Sanatana Goswami is considering not the praises as the mercy. He was considering the praises of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as something, you know, something like rejecting. And the chastisement which Mahaprabhu was giving to Jagannath Pandit, he was considering that as mercy. So that is a devotee. So not that every time glorified, maja aaya, achha laga, I'm very dear. Or gali diya, are bapre, bahut gali maarta, bhago dur, go away from here. It was not that. So devotees, when they are chastised, they feel yes. And he said, whom do you chastise? Only whom do you consider as your own. Then only you have the right to chastise them. So Sanatana Goswami felt, you are not showing your mercy to me, you are always glorifying me, and you are showing your mercy to Jagannath Pandit. So like that there is conversation, and Mahaprabhu convinces him, don't go. So next day, again after some time, Mahaprabhu, again every like Siddhabak, Mahaprabhu used to come to Siddhabakul every day. And to meet after the morning Mangalarti Darshan, he used to get the Upal Bhoga for Haridas Thakur. So and because Mahaprabhu had told Sanatana Goswami that you stay with Haridas Thakur over there. And then, as usual, Mahaprabhu comes next day morning also. So seeing Mahaprabhu, Haridas Thakur immediately offers obeisances. And Sanatana Goswami runs far away and stands at one corner to offer obeisances from there. Then Mahaprabhu says, Sanatana, why are you offering obeisances from there? Please come here. Please come close. Mahaprabhu says, no. Sorry, Sanatana Goswami says, no. I will not come. I don't want to contaminate your body. And then he runs away. But then Mahaprabhu just catches him tightly. So, out of fear of committing offense, Sanatana Goswami did not come forward to meet Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. The Lord, however, went forward to meet him. He said, Sanatana bhagi pache kore nagaman balatkari dhari prabhu koila alingan. So out of force, Mahaprabhu embraced Sanatana Goswami tightly. And after doing this, the Lord then sat with him with both of them. And then Sanatan Goswami, out of his humility, which is known for, he started revealing his heart to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He says, Hita lagi ainu moi hoila viparita. I came here for some benefit. Hita lagi. Hita lagi ainu moi hoila viparita. But what I'm seeing, everything ulta, viparita, everything is going against what I thought of. Seva yogya nahi aparadha kona niti niti. I'm not able to do some service for you. Instead, I'm simply committing offense every day at your lotus feet. So what is this, my dear Lord? Sahaja nicha jati mohi dushta papa shay mora tumi chunila mora aparadha hoy. He says, you are touching me. Mora tumi chunila mora aparadha hoy. That by nature I am low born, I am contaminated reservoir of all sinful activities, and if you touch me, sir, that will be a great offense on my part. So please do not do this. And says, embracing is okay, I can understand, but that what is the result of that embrace? He says, if I had to be healthy and if I embraced, it's okay, fine. But out of that embrace, what is happening? Tahate amara ange kandu rusha rakta chale. That kandu is a blister, that sores. They are oozing blood and pus. Tomara ange lagi tabu sparshatumi bale. Moreover, the blood which is running from my body, which is infected from this infected sores, is smearing your body, but still you touch me. And then, my dear sir, he says, please do not have a pinch of aversion. You do not have, he says, you do not have a pinch of aversion to touch my body, which is in a horrible condition. Because of this offense, everything auspicious will be vanquished. Sanatana Goswami says, so therefore, please do not embrace me. Therefore, I see that I will get nothing auspicious by staying here. Kindly give me orders, allowing me to return to Vrindavan after the Yatra festival. So this is Sanatana Goswami expressing his humility. And again afterwards, when Mahaprabhu comes there, he comes to know that he is planning to leave Vrindavan, but then Mahaprabhu convinces him and says, actually, after chastising Jagdananda, so Mahaprabhu actually revealing his heart, that why I glorify you and why am I chastising Jagdananda. He says, I offer you praise. I am praising you because I think of you as being outside an intimate relationship with me. I think of you as outside an intimate relationship with me, but because you are actually so qualified that one is forced to praise your qualities. So, a devotee, Sanatana Goswami, has established his standard so much that even the Lord could not resist to glorify him. And then, although one has affection for many persons, although Mahaprabhu is saying, although one has affection for many persons, different types of ecstatic love awakens according to the nature of one's personal relationships. Very important point. Because you cannot be monotonous. You cannot love everyone. You cannot say, I should have equal vision with everyone. According to one's relationship with one particular devotee, there is a particular type of love that or relationship is established with that devotee. So Mahaprabhu is telling Sanatana Goswami, because I have a special intimate relationship with you, therefore I always like to praise you. And he says, Tomara deha tumi kara bhibatsa gyan, Tomara deho amar lage amrita saman. Says, for you, your body may be like dangerous and awful, maybe useless, but for me, your body is like nectar. And then he says, actually, your body is transcendental, never material. You are thinking of it, however, in terms of material conception. He says, if you are thinking that your body is material, that is your conception. But what I consider your body as, completely spiritual. And then Prabhupada, on this verse, gives a beautiful purport that how when a devotee engages in devotional service, loving devotional service, and dedicates his mind, body, words, everything in the service of the Lord, automatically his body gets spiritualized. It is no longer material. And therefore a common man cannot consider the body, even though appears as material, should not consider the body of an advanced pure devotee to be on the material platform. That will simply lead to offense. And then Mahaprabhu is telling, even if I consider your body as material, I could still not neglect it. For the material body should not be considered neither good nor bad. This is Mahaprabhu giving his own opinions as a sannyasi. And he says, quoting from Bhagavatam, he says, Kim bhadram kim abhadram va dvaityasya kutana kiyat vachoditam tad amritam manaso dhyatam evacha. Anything not conceived in relationship to Krishna should be understood to be illusion. Nothing of the illusion uttered by the words or conceived in the mind are factual. Because illusion is not factual, there is no distinction between what we think is good and what we think is bad. Whenever we speak of the absolute truth, such speculations do not apply. So when you see dualities, that is simply on material platform. And so Mahaprabhu is speaking from a spiritual platform, that even if you think it is material, you may think material, but myself as a sannyasi, being situated on the spiritual platform, if I see your body as material, then I am affected by duality, which I am not supposed to be. Therefore, I don't see accordingly. For me, everything is spiritual because it is in connection with Krishna. And therefore, he says, in the material world, conceptions of good and bad are all mental speculations. Therefore, seeing this, that this is good and this is bad, is all mystic. So this is Mahaprabhu speaking from the angle of a devotee, what a devotee's conception should be in relationship to this material world or in dealing with this material world. And then he quotes the verse from Bhagavad Gita, Vidya Vinay Sampanne Brahmane Gavihastini Suni Chaiva Supake Chaiva Pandita Samadarshina. And then this all Mahaprabhu is trying to convince Sanatana Goswami. And then he says, one who is fully satisfied in knowledge obtained and practically applied in life, who is always determined and fixed in spiritual position, who completely controls the senses and who sees pebbles, stones and gold on the same level, is understood to be a perfect yogi. Again quoting from Bhagavad Gita. And then Mahaprabhu actually speaks. This is what is the substance. He says, Amita sannyasi amar samadrishti dharma. So Mahaprabhu has come here to establish dharma. So therefore says, Amita sannyasi amar samadrishti dharma chandana pankete amar jnana hoi sama. Since I am in the renounced order, my duty is to make no distinctions and be equipoised. My knowledge must be equally disposed towards sandalwood pulp and even a dirty mud. I cannot make distinctions. And this is for this reason, I cannot reject you. This is Mahaprabhu's words, very assuring and very hope-giving. No matter what we are, the point I want to make is, we'll come to the end. For this reason, I cannot reject you. If I hated you, I would deviate from my occupational duty. As a sannyasi, I have certain dharma, certain occupational duties which I'm supposed to do. If I reject you, then I'm not doing that. And then hearing this, Haridas Thakur, who is also sitting there, he says that, my dear Lord, what you have spoken deals with external formalities, which I do not accept it. What you're speaking is quite external. My Lord, we are so fallen. Ami sab adhame ya koriya che angikar dina dayalu guna tomar tahate prachar. Even though we are fallen, but because of your attribute of being merciful to the fallen, you are well known, you accepted us, and you are well known for this. And hearing this, Lord Chaitanya smiled and says, listen, Haridas and Sanatan, now I am speaking the truth about how my mind is attached to you. And this is what a devotee, this is what I liked very much, and this is a constant theme which is flowing in Chaitanya Charitamrita, in Bhagavatam, and also in Bhagavad Gita also. All the three places you will find these connections, which I liked very much, so I'm simply sharing. It is beyond my realizations, please forgive me for that. And says, Mahaprabhu says, Tomare lalya apna ke lalaka abhiman, lalakera lalya nahi dosha parigyan. He says, my dear Haridas and Sanatan, I think of you as my little boys to be maintained by me. The maintainer never takes seriously any faults of the maintained. So this part from these 4 or 5 verses which Mahaprabhu is speaking is especially applicable to all the devotees, and especially those devotees who are preaching and especially those who are on the forefront. Because even though we may be serving the Lord and His pure representatives as carrying out their orders in propagating this mission, being in this material world, there will be always someone, something, some people who will always find faults in you, will always blaspheme you, criticize you. As it is said, if 10 people are glorifying you, there will be 100 people, those will criticize you. And the worst part is, the criticism or fault finding does not come from outsiders. Many times it is seen, it comes only from the devotees. And that is still more worse. So, how should a devotee react to such criticisms, to such fault-finding mentalities, or through such throwing or contaminating you with the criticisms, sarcasms of others? So how should a devotee react? That is what is the theme for this whole narration. And that is what will come to the conclusion also. That is what Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has come to establish. So he says, "My dear Haridas and Sanatan, I consider you as my children. And I am maintaining you. I am maintaining you. And being maintained by me, you are like my children. And therefore, when I maintain you, I am taking a position of father. So therefore, if children are committing offense towards a father, they are criticizing or blaspheming or finding faults, I cannot also react in the same way. Then there is no difference between the father and the child. A father who is mature, who is grown up, who is experienced, who has seen the world, he has to react in a different way. And that is what Mahaprabhu is teaching here. He says, I never take seriously any faults of the maintained. I cannot take like that. And then he says, Apane hoya mora, apane hoya mora, amanya saman, toma saber karun moi balaka abhiman. I always think of myself as deserving no respect. So one should deserve no respect. Amanena, amanidena. So I always think of myself as deserving no respect, but because of my affection, I always consider you to be my like little children. So this is the mood which every preacher has to develop, like a father caring for his little children. And then he gives a very, very beautiful and striking statement and example. He says, Matara yeiche balakera amedya lage gai, grina nahi janme ara mahasukh pai. He says, when a child passes stool and urine that touches the body of the mother never hates the child. On the contrary, she takes much pleasure in cleansing him. All of us have gone through this phase, but we never experienced our mother's rejecting us. So many times, if you have small children in your house or have experienced that, you'll find practically the whole house is filled with the small copings of small babies. Why? Because practically every 10, 15 minutes or half an hour, they are simply passing urine and stool. And they are my personal experience so many times, when I was at home with my brother's children, so many times I used to carry them, and so many times they have passed urine and stool on me. But you don't feel rejected. Hey, nonsense, rascal fellow. Don't know what to do, where to do. But you are happy. You don't feel bad about it. And this is just, I am far away, the relationship. But a mother, for her it is bliss, ecstasy. And with her whole love and affection, without taking any offense, she simply cleans the child so that her child becomes healthy. He remains healthy. He smells nicely. He is not affected by any infection. That is a mother. It's a very touching statement, is Mahaprabhu. So Mahaprabhu is acting as a father, is acting also as a mother. And then he says, the stool and the urine of the maintained child appears like sandalwood pulp to the mother. This is a fact. We may be laughed, but mothers have this experience. Because we are males, we don't know that. But for a mother, it is a bliss to smell. Yeah, vaste kya hai. And one more quote is there in Bhagavatam, which you will not appreciate. Again, mothers will appreciate that. The stool and urine of the maintained child appear like sandalwood pulp to the mother. Similarly, when the foul, here is where Mahaprabhu is comparing. Similarly, when the foul moisture oozing from the source of Sanatan touches my body, I have no hatred for him. So when people pass urine and stool of faults, criticisms, sarcasms, everything, how to react? Just becoming like a mother and father. That is the only way one can be peaceful. We'll see what is the result of developing this mentality. Time will not permit, I don't know. So then Haridas Thakur says, hearing this, these two statements, he says, my dear sir, you are the Supreme Personality of Godhead and you are most merciful towards me. No one can understand, merciful towards us. No one can understand what is within your deeply affectionate heart. You embrace the leper Vasudev, whose body was fully infected by worms. You are so kind that in spite of his conditions, you embraced him. By embracing him, you made his body as beautiful as that of a cupid. We cannot understand the waves of your mercy. And then Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says that the body of a devotee is never material. It is considered to be transcendental, full of spiritual bliss. So therefore, even if somebody, out of his immaturity, out of lack of understanding, finds some faults, criticizes us, what we still have to see, not the criticisms or sarcasms, we still have to see that, yes, here is my child, first point. Second thing, he is still a devotee. He may be an immature devotee. He may not have proper conception, even though he is committing Vaishnava Prad by finding faults and that, so on. But still is a devotee. So I cannot reject him. I cannot throw away, because that is not going to solve the problem. I have to still keep him with me and make him grow. That is what Mahaprabhu did. And then Mahaprabhu says, the second thing, Mahaprabhu says, Sanatanara Deha Krishna Kandu Upajai. That why did Krishna allow this source to erupt from the body of Sanatana Goswami? He says, only for one reason. He says, Ama Parikshitet Iha Dite Pathai. He says, just to test me. Mahaprabhu is telling, just to test me, Krishna has created this source in the body of Sanatana Goswami. So we'll summarize what the lessons to be learned from this is. Like, from this what we learn is, when somebody does something wrong, what you have to see? That this is, Krishna is making him speak like that just to make me humble, just to make me realize what my position is, to be saved from the influences of Maya and to test me. And then he says, Mahaprabhu says, there could not be any bad odor from his body. On the first day I embraced him, I smelled the aroma of Chatushma. Mahaprabhu saying, first day when I smelled him, I could smell Chatushma, a mixture of sandalwood pulp, camphor, aguru and musk. In fact, however, when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu embraced the body of Sanatana Goswami, by the Lord's touch alone, there was a manifestation of fragrance exactly like that of a sandalwood pulp. And then again, after speaking this, Mahaprabhu is telling that I embrace you only for my pleasure. That gives me great pleasure, therefore I embrace you. And then Mahaprabhu again embraces him tightly. And with that tight embrace, what happens? All the source disappear. They vanquish from the body. And then Mahaprabhu says, my dear Sanatan, please stay here for one more year in Jagannath Puri, in our association, in my association, and then afterwards you can go to Vrindavan for executing my orders. So these same prayers or these same thoughts which Mahaprabhu is telling to Sanatana Goswami and Haridas Thakur is also shared by Lord Brahmaji. When Brahmaji committed offense against Krishna by trying to test him through Brahmavimon, that all that pastimes of stealing the calves and the cowherd boys. So when Brahmaji is repenting, immediately the first prayers, what Brahmaji is saying, what is the mood, what is the analogy is giving? He says, my dear Lord, that to be worshipped by any living entity, to be worshipped by any living entity, you are the Supreme Lord, and therefore every living entity has to worship you. And thus, I fall down to offer my respectful obeisances, and I ask you for mercy. And what example is giving? How you should be merciful to me, and how you should consider my offense as the father, sorry, he says that just like a mother, never take offenses of the kicks of the child in her womb. So all those who don't know, some gynecological, in what do you call, the child, when he's there in the womb of his mother, right from the 5th month onwards, when he starts moving around, he starts kicking the womb of the mother. And that is a great pleasure for the mother. And when the woman comes, that is a sign of a healthy baby. We ask, how many kicks are you receiving? So mother tells, 5 kicks, 6 kicks. There is a chart made, kick chart. And then you say, yes, if the child is kicking properly, then he is healthy, moving around. So mother does not take offense. I am taking you care of you, I am giving you shelter in my womb, and you rascal, you are kicking me. Yeah, yeah, yeah. She does not take offense. So Brahmaji is giving an example that just as a mother does not take offense when a child kicks in the womb, similarly, my dear Lord, please don't take my offense or my mistake as an offense. Please forgive me for that. And even Bhagavad Gita also, Krishna, so when Krishna showed the universal form to Arjuna, after seeing that universal form, he was bewildered. And then he's saying, oh, my dear Lord, oh, Keshava, oh, Madhava, I committed so many offenses against you. And then he says, you are the supreme Lord to be worshipped by every living entity. Thus I fall down to offer respectful obeisances and I ask your mercy. As a father tolerates the impudence of his son, is Arjuna speaking. Just like a father tolerates the impudence of the son, a friend tolerates the impertinence of another friend, or a wife the familiarity of her partner, please tolerate the wrongs I have done to you. So this constant theme is there, the same example. So what I was thinking is, taking the practical application of this, as I mentioned, that it is quite natural, no one can avoid it, that even though you may preach to people, they may be your inner circle people, and you cannot please everyone at all times. That one has to understand. And people may misunderstand you, and people may do so many things. People may come and openly speak, but now people don't speak openly. What they do? They send mails. Big mails people send, and they just criticize, blaspheme. You are this, you are that, you did this thing to me, and you are partial, and so many things. And then you may feel, are kya hua? Itna, so much energy, so much time I invested in this person. Is this the result? Is this the result of my service to him? And one may get depressed, one may get frustrated, one may fight out. One may even think, now hell with him. I reject him. I don't want that person. I never want to see the face of that person. But that is not going to solve the problem. That is not going to solve the problem. Because you may be happy rejecting him. Why? Because you have so many other people. Sau mein se ek gaya to kya fark padta hai? But what is going to happen to that one person? He is the only one person. If we reject him, just like he may be like a small child, passing urine and stool on the mother, kicking the mother. But mother never rejects. Mother, in fact, keeps the child with him, takes more care, puts more attention, and nourishes him, allows him to grow. Just like Mahapurush told Sanatana Goswami, be here for 1 year and then go to Vrindavan. So we have to keep them with us, nourish them properly, give them proper time, allow them to grow. And no child, none of us, after we grew up, practically after 3 to 4 years, none of us said, mother, sit down, I want to pass urine and stool on you. We never do it. So as devotees grow, they become mature, automatically they will never do the mistakes which they did in their immaturity. But if we reject the child, what may happen? The child may die. He may not even have the time to mature. So therefore, we have to give everyone a time to grow in the proper circle, proper association, with proper guidance. So when we do that, it is difficult because the ego does not accept it. Especially when a person whom you have invested so much of your time, energy, and you have considered him as your own. Your Mahapurush is telling, I have maintained you, I am your maintainer. And when the person whom we have maintained, if he does something, it really affects. If someone who is very far away, whom he does not know, if he writes something or speaks something, like, pata nahi kone, so many other, it does not affect you. So then, what happens when you do that, when you still keep that person? It helps us to understand the variegatedness of the spiritual world. You have to understand, because we are not Mayavadis. Spiritual world is full of variety. And when there is variety, there is variety of natures also. There is varieties of way of thinking, varieties of perceptions, varieties of ideas. So a person may think in a particular way, and what he must be speaking or what he must be accusing of, that may be his sense of perception. So then when you tolerate them, when you keep them, you understand, yes, variety is there. And then the faith is developed. Second thing is, you become free from dualities. Because as devotees, one of the essential principles for one to aspire for is to become free from dualities, without which one cannot go ahead on the path of devotional service, which Krishna speaks in Bhagavad Gita. Tesham tvantagata papam jananam punya karmana te dvandva moha nirmukto bhajate mam dhidavvrata. To become determined in devotional service, to continue performing devotional service, one has to become free from dualities. So how will become free from dualities? When you don't see someone as very dear, because he's glorifying you, listening to you, and reject someone who's accusing you. You have to become free from the dualities, raise yourself from the material platform, and see the spirit in that, who has accepted, who's trying to be a devotee. So that helps us in overcoming the dualities. And the third principle is, one becomes humble and tolerant. Because to accept the person who has blasphemed you, it's not an easy thing. And you are forced to become humble. If you have a proper shastric references, proper understanding, then automatically, even though you may not like, but at least superficially, you'll try to act humble and you start tolerating that person. So that helps in a long way to develop humility and tolerance. And then, when that thing happens, when humility and tolerance develops, only then we can chant Hare Krishna. Because if you constantly think about this person and what he has spoken, how can we chant? To be very practical, even if one person says something, you can't chant. Because the words, they pierce like arrow in your heart. And your chanting goes somewhere else. All the time you're thinking about that. But when you forgive that person, keep him, adjust with him, then the topics end over there. And then you can focus fully. Therefore, Mahaprabhu says, Trinalapi Sunichena, be tolerant like a tree, humble like a blade of grass. Then only you can chant Hare Krishna always. And then, what happens? When you tolerate that person, when you can chant Hare Krishna properly, that frees you and the opposite person also, from fall down. Why? Because if you reject him, he will continue to blaspheme you, criticize you, and commit offense. And because he has spoken something and you have not accepted him, you also, in some way or the other, will speak something wrong about that person. And in what happens? Both of them are blaspheming, criticizing each other, and both of them are committing Vaishnaprad, both of them fall down. So in order to save ourselves, in order to save that person, one has to accept that person, keep that person with us. And when all these things are done, when you understand the nature of the material world, you understand the nature of the mind, accept that person as ours, give some time to grow, nourish him properly, and then becoming humble, becoming tolerant, when you chant nicely, what happens? A society flourishes. For a flourishing of the society, one needs to be very much tolerant, like a mother and a father. Otherwise, one by one, today you may think, oh, one person has gone, what's the problem? But tomorrow, another person may go. And our ego, if you are egoistic, think that no matter, others are there. A day will come when everybody will go away, and you are left all alone. So if a society wants to sustain and flourish, the only principle which can save that thing or do that is Trinadapi Sinchena, which is the main principle which Mahaprabhu is trying to establish. And only then we can chant Hare Krishna properly. Otherwise, the perfection, the Yuga Dharma cannot be followed without these principles of humility and tolerance. And therefore, we have to become like a mother and father and tolerate every devotee, because others are also tolerating us. If everyone acts like mother and father and tolerate each other as a child, then the society can be successful and society can grow. Faults may be there, nobody is perfect. But still, the only element that is required is keeping our ego. You cannot keep ego aside, but adjusting our ego and just tolerate the person and try to nourish each other. And then only the Yuga Dharma, for which Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has come, for which Krishna has come to establish, that is the chanting of the holy names, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare, that will be established. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Sorry for going beyond time. Please forgive me for that. And thank you for your kind, attentive hearing. श्रील प्रभुपाद की ग्रंथराज श्रीमद्भागवतम की जय। गौर प्रेमानंद।